Confusion in a time of where things are not everything that we wish they were in many ways, yet God's still good, and as Brother Tim pointed out to us in Sunday school, we can still trust Him. Amen. We may not have answers sometimes, but God still does. None of this taking Him by surprise. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose. God still has direction for us. Amen. I pray God will help us. We're going to talk here in the morning service a little bit about the conditions we're in and the day and time we're in. And you pray for me. Romans, the first chapter this morning, a rather lengthy reading. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation, your unspeakable gift. What you have done in restoring us to fellowship with you and forgiving our sins and helping us and leading us and being with us and being our friend. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Now I pray you'll quicken my mind by your Spirit as we look into your word. Help me, Lord, to say those things as I ought and to leave off those things I ought to leave off, that we might know how to please you in the day and time in which we live. Help us together this morning. Give the hearers ears to hear. By your Spirit we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, mine stirred many thoughts, things I see in the news, things I see happening here and there. We live in a time of increasing evil, and I don't say that to depress you. I really don't, and I don't say that in a defeatist kind of way. It's just a reality of fact. We live in a time where evil is on the increase, a time when much evil is being accepted by lots of people. There's dangers to you and I that live in such a time. Even though we may not be accepting the evil, there's dangers to us. And I want to study with us this morning very plain scripture in Romans, the first chapter, about what causes people into societies to fall into evil and degradation. Romans, the first chapter, verse 18. Let's begin. Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I know that's a lengthy scripture, but I think it's so applicable to the day and time we live in. This is a description of what happens to people who abandon God. Amen. This is a description of what happens to peoples and societies without the influence of God. You know, one of the most fearful and destructive judgments God can bring is for Him simply to withdraw Himself. One of the most fearful things that can happen to anybody or any people is for God just to withdraw Himself. In the 24th verse it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is the people that rejected God. This is talking about people that rejected God, and God's response was to give them up. I tell you what, without the influence of a real and living God, people do not improve. Without the influence of a real and living God, societies do not improve. Without God, individuals and societies fall into degradation. It's the knowledge of God and the influence of God that preserve people morally. That's what the salt is. It's a preserving effect of restraining evil. Without the influence of God, either outwardly in a society or inwardly through one's conscience, people devolve into gross immorality. Yes. You hear me? People do not get better without God. When the influence of God is removed, people devolve downward. Without God, people are governed by their own desires. Right? If you don't have God, who is the authority, they're governed by what they want, what somebody wants or what people want. And in this passage of Scripture, we see the result of unrestrained pursuit of human desires. That's really what it is. It's an unrestrained pursuit of human desires. It's a portrait of self-indulgence and selfishness. Without God, again I say, without God, people are given over to self-interest, selfishness, self-indulgence. Take a look where that leads. Verse 25 said, "Who changed the truth into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forevermore. Amen." Without God, we become human-focused. And folks, this is where we're at in our society, and this is where we're at in most of our churches. Amen. The focus is on man. Man is central to everything. Humans are central to everything. We take the central spot in life. In our own life and society, we take the central spot instead of God. Humanism is religion today. It really is. The promotion and exaltation of man and his reason and his wisdom is really worship today more than God. What form of religion remained was changed to suit a life that had man as the focus. Amen? It said they changed the truth of God in the lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Amen? And even religion today, the big appeal of religion is what? It's a selfish appeal, folks. Most of what passes for religion today is just as selfish as the rest of society. It's just cloaked a little bit different. Amen? We think we have to be able to sell it. We have to make it appeal to one's selfishness. Make man central. I tell you what. For this cause, God gave him up to vile affections. For this cause, God gave him up to vile affection. Because they rejected God. Because they didn't worship God as God. God gave them up. And he let them pursue what they wanted to pursue. If you read that passage, all God did was say, have at it. Pursue what you want to pursue. The downward devolving was not God's direct doing. It was what was in their hearts. And this is where, hey, if people live to please themselves, this is where it happens. What you see going on in society today is not people trying to be evil. Vast majority don't have any intent to be evil. They're not set out to be evil. You know what they want? They want what they want. Amen. That's what they want. It's what makes them happy, what they think makes them happy, what they desire. Right? That's what they're pursuing. And you see where it leads. Amen. Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up the vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet." When God gave them up, their pursuit of unrestrained indulgence led to all kinds of immorality. Amen? All kinds of immorality. One mentioned here is homosexuality. And I tell you what, to speak the truth on that today, we are under attack. And I know homosexuality is a multifaceted, difficult subject on an individual level in many ways, okay? I'm not ignorant of that. But I also tell you this. The pursuit of a homosexual lifestyle is shameful. Yes. It is vile affection, as it says. It's unnatural and it's against God. Another translation of this verse says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even the women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. How shall I say this? In a society, homosexuality is one of the signposts of unrestrained indulgence. In any society, the acceptance of that is one of the signposts of unrestrained indulgence. Homosexuality is degrading to those who indulge in it. Amen? It's a signpost of devolving into a fearful condition. I could give you statistics, but homosexuality is not just an alternate lifestyle. It is a life of indulgence. It is primarily a life of indulgence of physical acts, not an indulgence of commitment and relationship primarily. Statistically, most homosexuals have 30 to 100 different partners in their lifetime, statistically. It's a lifestyle of indulgence. And I'm not beating up individuals, and I'm not saying some people don't need help in dealing with different things in life and different pulls and emotions. I try and be fair with that, but I'm going to tell you, we have all been conditioned to accept. When I talk to young people and even mention this, there's a wall up because we've been taught to accept. This is a fearful condition, folks. As a society, the acceptance of unrestrained indulgence in so many areas, and this is just one of the signs, it is one of the signposts, though, it is destructive. Yes, it is. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Because they didn't want to the restraint that the knowledge of God brings, God allowed them to have degraded, debased minds to pursue those things that are wrong. That's fearful, isn't it? You know, God, we each of us have a conscience within. We do. That's part of the image of God that's in us, is to have a conscience. And it cautions us, it warns us against things that are wrong. But people in their unrelenting pursuit of self-indulgence can come to the place that they no longer feel the urges of conscience. And in fact, God, listen to me, God is active in this. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means God discontinued His influence in their mind when they become set on these things. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. That's a debased position, but that's where the pursuit of self and the rejection of God leads any people to. Amen. Amen? Another translation said they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanders, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, and invent ways of doing evil. Disobedient to parents, senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Look at that list. Anything look appealing on that list? This is where pursuing what we want leads. Amen? Where we pursue what we want without respect to God and what He wants, this is where people and societies go. And it's not a good place. And if you look at that list, to one degree or another, our society is slipping toward more and more of that list of evil. Amen? This is where people go without God, folks. This is where our families, friends, and neighbors go without God. This is where you and I would go without the influence of God. It's a down spiral when people reject God and the knowledge of God. But knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. You know, I know evil's always existed, but goodness, it seems to me people glory in it today too often. Amen? How do people end up in such a vile condition? How do people fall so far? Let's look at the beginning again, that text I read, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You notice how they ended up in that condition, the starting point? They did not glorify God as God. Amen. They did not give God His rightful place. When they knew Him, when they had knowledge of God, they didn't glorify Him as God. That's the heart of the problem. It is a rejection of God and God's authority that leads to God withdrawing His influence. Amen? Amen? It's a rejection of God as God in His authority that leads to God withdrawing His influence and leaving people to themselves. Before I leave that, I want you to notice, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Now you find it interesting that that's thrown in there. You know why? Most of us consider thankfulness as not kind of a option. You know, it's like when you buy a car and you get the base unit, but there you can add the XM Sirius radio or some upline option. Too many of us today in our Christian walk think thankfulness is some extra we add on. Thankfulness is part of the core of a Christian life. Amen? Because the opposite of it is what? Unthankfulness, dissatisfaction. Thankfulness is focused on receiving something that we really don't think we deserved, or maybe more than we deserve, right? I mean, if to truly be thankful to God is focused on Him and His goodness, not ourselves. Unthankfulness focuses on, we didn't get what we deserve. We deserve a lot better than this. Life ain't treating us good enough, right? We deserve more. It's self-focused. Thankfulness tends to be right thankfulness to God, tends to be God-focused. Unthankfulness tends to be self-focused. There is a connection between maintaining a thankful attitude and glorifying God as God. Amen. Now, this passage also tells us that we're without excuse for our unbelief. God has revealed Himself to us. Did you get that? He said they're without excuse. They could have known. By the very creation, it ought to cause us to acknowledge God. God revealed Himself to everybody through the created world. Not only in this passage, but in every other passages, you're going to find that is what the Bible teaches. That we are without excuse. We ought to be able to look around and see there's a God. Amen. We ought to see Him in creation. But He's gone beyond that and revealing Himself to us. But I want you to also notice here that God's anger is against such ones. It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who restrain the truth by unrighteousness. What's the first commandment? Well, the first commandment is to have no other God before Him, right? What's the chief commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That's the foundation of our relationship with God. Nothing else in front of Him, that He's over all, have no other God before Him, and to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the foundation of true religion. Amen? That's the foundation of our life, if we found true religion. We're to recognize God as God, that He is the Creator, that we belong to Him. He's our Lord and King. Amen? He's the Creator. He's the ruler of the universe. He owns it all, including you and me. Amen? He's our Master. He is our Savior, the only Savior, the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved is Jesus Christ. Amen? There is an alternate path, folks. I'm going to tell you. There's one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. He alone is Savior. But He's also our Master. Amen? Listen to me now. We, you and me, we are in danger of becoming deceived and falling into degradation if we fail to glorify God as God. You hear me? Satan don't come in and take people from here to here in one step. He begins in little steps. We are in danger of becoming deceived and falling into degradation if we fail to glorify God as God. And by that I mean, if we cool off in our relationship with God and begin to pursue our own desires, amen, amen, instead of what God wants, we are in danger of falling in this awful down spiral. Amen? All it takes is for God to take His hands off of us. Remember Samson? He is greatly blessed of God to have strength. And Samson continually fooled around, didn't he? I mean, he continually played with the edge and a little bit beyond of what he knew God had have him to do. And there come a time when Samson got up, said the Philistines are here. He shook himself, as he had before. Wist not the Spirit of God departed. He didn't know. Amen? And walked out into destruction. All it takes, hey, Samson's strength was of God. But I'm telling you, anything you and I have in living for God is of God. Amen? All it takes is the removal of God's influence, and we too fall into that down spiral. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We find here in Thessalonians a step a little further than just withdrawal. In this passage, we're told that God was active in withdrawing a knowledge of His truth and sending a lie, a strong delusion, an error, a deception. You know, to be a delusion is believing something is right when it's wrong. Amen. It's accepting an error and holding to it deluded. That means it's one thing to know what's right and do wrong. It's another thing to think wrong is right. Amen. I want you to notice here again what caused God to take this course of action. It says, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Because they received not a love of the truth. Well, what is that? You know, you've been around a lot of the same circles I have. The love of the truth oftentimes is interpreted to be a love for the doctrines of a certain body, a certain church, right? A certain set of beliefs. But the love of the truth is a passion for what is right. It's a passion and a desire to know what God says. Amen? A love of the truth is having a passion, a love. That means a burning desire to know what God says, to know what the truth really is, to know what reality is. It's a passion to know and do all of what God says, the entire counsel of God, the entire will of God. It's a passion to know God's will. It's a passion to know God's way. It's a passion to obey. Not just know it, but obey. And because they lost a passion, a love of the truth. Because they lost that, because they rejected it, God sent them a delusion. Now listen to me. That is a serious matter. Amen? I don't care what you exchange. You may exchange the truth for some group's particular beliefs. You may exchange the truth for some particular allowance of what you want to do, what you don't want to do. But we need a passion to know what God says, what God wants, and a passion to obey that, a love of the truth as a safeguard. If we lose that, and I've seen many who have substituted many things for it, they too fall into that down spiral. You know, people can be very, very religious and very wicked at the same time. Do you know that? Just because people are religious don't mean they haven't fallen into degradation. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And that don't mean you don't have a struggle to obey sometimes. But it's saying the general tenor of our life is we want to know what God says. We want to know what His way is because we want to do it. And it's not a burdensome thing to live our life with the intent of pleasing God. Amen. Amen. Evil today is much like a whirlpool. I am amazed how quickly people have been sucked down. How quickly people lose the truth and how quickly they fall into degradation. You know, it's like a whirlpool. When you're at the top, it's not moving very fast. It's big circles. But as you fall into it, man, it picks up speed and it picks up strength. The whirlpool of evil today is pulling people in our society ever deeper into sin and degradation. The cure to that and the prevention to that is to recognize God as God. Amen. You know where that begins? You're in my life is where it begins. If God don't rule our life, we're kind of hypocritical to run around and demand He rule everybody else's. You know that? Amen. Amen. It begins in us fully submitting to God. Us being fully committed to be everything God has us to be. Us living with the recognition that God is our Lord and Savior and Master. Amen?
Amen.
The cure is to keep our love for the truth. And I don't mean a list of doctrines that we've written down. That means the whole counsel of God. A love of the truth is to want to know what God said in everything, to want to know His way above everybody else's, every other way. Amen? We'll take God's word above all else. In our own life. Amen? That we govern our own life by what God said and have a passion for wanting it that way. Amen? That we conform our life to what God wants. Keep the reality of the things of God in our life. A lot of religion. In this day where a whole society is being sucked down, it seems, and I know it ain't everybody, even in Elijah's day, there were 7,000 that hadn't bowed knee. I know there's more than what we probably think that truly are following God. But I tell you what, it's not good news, most of what I see taking place in our society today. Is that fair? Here's where we begin. Is God really first in your life and my life? That's the first. Is He really first? Is He really God? Do we honor and glorify Him as God in our own life? Does He govern our life? Are we submitted to Him in everything that we know? Does our life revolve around Him? How about our love for God's way, His truth, His commandments? And don't ever allow what God asks of us to become grievous. If you find yourself in a place where what you know pleases God becomes a grievous thing to you, be awakened quickly, because this is where people get sucked down into the whirlpool of degradation. Amen? I want to challenge us this morning. We can look around. It scares me sometimes what I see When I leave God out of the equation, what's going on in our society is very frightening. I know there is a God who has a plan. But I'm going to tell you, in order to be in that plan and be part of that plan, we need to keep ourselves in a place where God can bless us. We need to take heed that what's going on around us not affect us. We're all, I know we are. All of us are affected. All of us are desensitized to some extent to the evil around us. I mean, it's so prevalent that we do. We become desensitized to the evil around us. And that's my caution to you. It's accepting of those things and starting to try and adjust what God said to fit in line with what harmonizes with everybody else is what gets people in trouble. And I want to challenge you and I. We may look around and see a world that's lost its way. But let's begin by looking at ourselves and say, hey, where am I at? Is God really God? Am I glorifying God as God in my life? Is He ruling my life?
Amen.
How about a love for the truth? How much do I want God's way for me? Amen? Because it's kind of silly for us to think we're going to put it on somebody else out there and cure the problem if we're not willing to start with ourselves. Amen. May God help us. I have more to say this afternoon, but may God help us. I want to encourage you. Glorify God as God in your life. Develop a passion for wanting what God wants. I don't care who it contradicts. Have a passion for God's way, what He said, what He wants. Amen. Beginning in our own life. Amen. We begin there. We get that down. We can move out from there. But let's begin there. Amen. May God help you. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your truth. I pray You'll help us to look around and be awakened to the danger we're in today as a society. But more than that, help us to be alert to the danger it presents to each one of us, that we might not be sucked in or lulled to sleep, might not be moved from our commitment to You and our passion for being all that You'd have us to be. Help us in the day and time in which we live to be a light, to be a preserving element, not be desensitized and drawn into a compromised position with the world around us. Help us, we pray, by Your Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name, and amen.